This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
The Vesuvius Challenge was issued recently in an attempt to find a way through modern technology to read 2,000-year-old scrolls that were carbonized by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. That eruption destroyed the cities of Pompeii and Herculaneum, but preserved many clues, now excavated by archaeologists, that reveal what life was like in the first century, the time of Jesus. And that includes scrolls that were, shall we say, extremely toasted, so that they are unrollable and unreadable. Unless you do something like a CAT scan and then use advanced computer technology to read that data and virtually unroll the scroll. That's the expertise of Brent Seals, a University of Kentucky professor who has issued this $1 million Vesuvius challenge that has so far brought in more than 600 other teams to work on these scrolls. In our last program, Professor Seals said the 1,800 scrolls that have so far been found in the Villa of the Papyri, as it's called, may be just the tip of the iceberg.
So they know where the library is in this villa in Herculaneum, but it hasn't been excavated yet.
That's right. They have a map from Carl Weber when he did the early excavation of the villa. And they have an area where all of the parts were found, but they do not believe they have actually fully excavated where the library portion of that site really was. And it's complicated because there is a modern town above the ancient town, and it's expensive to do that kind of excavation. But if we can show that there is material that can be extracted, then, you know, we might be able to see more excavation, and that would be world-class discovery. It'd be fantastic.
Is there a replica of this villa that's been created in Southern California?
The Getty actually has two locations in LA. The location on the hill is their main site. Most people are familiar with that architecture. It's the beautiful white travertine that you can see from everywhere.
It's a museum.
It's the Getty Museum, but then down on the coast, outside of Malibu, is a replica of this very villa, which was built by Getty, I think, in the 60s. And you can visit that villa, and they have the architecture on display. It's beautiful.
Do they have other research materials that you've used for your research?
Well, ironically, they do not have any papyrus at the Getty Villa or at the Getty Museum. But they have a conservation institute, which is world-class. As a Getty Conservation Institute scholar, I spent some time there a few years ago, and it was inspirational time through what I learned and through my association with the amazing colleagues there. I was able to come back with a renewed sense of what we could do and some energy to actually do it.
I think the last time we talked, you were planning on going to Oxford and using some materials there. How did that pan out?
We ran a wonderful project in collaboration with Tobias Reinhardt, a professor of classics at Oxford. And through that project, we were able to work with the material that the Bodleian Library has from Herculaneum. They actually have one scroll that is completely open into 12 trays, and we imaged all 12 of those trays. And then they have three intact scrolls that have never been studied. We've made overtures and we hope inroads to the place where we might be able to study those scrolls. We haven't been able to do that yet. The hope that I had to spend some time in Israel and also to spend some time in Oxford, those hopes were dashed by COVID. They closed the country of Israel. I didn't think that would ever happen. And they also essentially closed England because it was really difficult to go back and forth during that time. And that was exactly the time I had. I didn't get to do that.
That was a sabbatical time?
That's right. That was my sabbatical year.
How else did COVID impact your research? Were there other impacts?
Oh, my, yes. A lot of our work is on site with the travel restrictions. I mean, we had all of this pent-up need to collect data from all of our partners. Most of those partners were closed, and the travel was restricted. So we did a lot of work in-house with our algorithms and with the data and with the software while we waited for the logjam to loosen up, and now it has. And now we're so busy running around trying to catch up. And I think a lot of people have probably experienced that.
Going back to Oxford, looking at the scroll that had actually been unrolled, did that information that you saw by looking inside an actual scroll help at all?
Yeah, the P-Herc number, P is for papyrus, Herc is for Herculaneum. So, and everything's numbered. So they call it P-Herc for short, and then a number. P-Herc number for that material is 118, and it's not been edited. So yeah, we learned a ton about that particular piece. It's being worked on now by a couple of papyrologists who are going to release an edition. It is fragmentary, though. Everything that was opened was opened with the methods of the day, and that was 100 years ago, sometimes more than that. So the pieces of papyrus, which are very thin and very volatile, are not stable, and they flaked off. And a lot of times you have visible several layers all combined into one image. So you look at it and you're seeing through holes and on higher steps, because the papyrus was peeled on the unevenly, like multiple layers of an onion, and you can see through, and you know, you don't get an even text. It's a real puzzle for an expert, not only just to read the letter forms, because it's hard to read, but then to put together a coherent text from the fact that you have multiple layers in play, and you have to untangle that puzzle.
For those who've just joined us, we're talking about the Vesuvius Challenge, a challenge to scholars to use computer technology to unroll virtually carbonized ancient scrolls found in a villa in Herculaneum that were carbonized after the 79 AD eruption of Mount Vesuvius. We started this interview by talking about the Library of Alexandria, a library of 2,000 years ago that was famous in the ancient world. Is it realistic to compare this villa library with the Library of Alexandria as far as what it might tell us about the ancient world?
Well, it wasn't exactly the same in the sense that the villa was a private residence and many wealthy patrons had private libraries. Alexandria was a public library and it was operational, and they had hundreds of thousands probably of manuscripts. People don't realize it, but the library business goes way back. People have valued it basically from time immemorial. So that being said, I mean, in your private library and in the public library, there is going to be overlap in the things that you have on your shelf. We still stand to learn knowledge about the ancient world from the Library at Herculaneum. They are in no way the same, and things did move around the ancient world. There could be things that were in this library that had been in Alexandria. Really difficult to tell how you could track that. Those are all really important questions to try to continue to ask.
And if you wanted a copy of a book from the library, you had to copy it out by hand on a scroll yourself or hire somebody to do it.
You can't imagine people having done that. There was a literary community and sets of scribes. The Apostle Paul probably didn't end up writing everything in his own hand, but had scribes who worked with him to take essentially dictation and editing, right, to complete his manuscripts.
We've mentioned the Vesuvius Challenge in the latest issue of Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine. My colleague, Professor Billington, who wrote up the little item on the Vesuvius Challenge, said in his comments he would hope that perhaps from this library you might finally have the writings of Manetho, who was an Egyptian historian who wrote the history of Egypt, but we don't have that document. All we have is Josephus referencing him and that history in some of his works.
Yeah, so many clues in what we do have, letting us know that 90% of this material has been lost. And so anything that fills out that 90% would be amazing. We just aren't finding new caches of material. Herculaneum is the only extant library from antiquity that has ever been discovered.
So this is a unique opportunity to see if the computers can actually read these scrolls.
Well, we like to think of it as we're trying to read the scrolls, you know, using computer technology to help us. And I think that's one way to think about AI as well. Rather than being scared by what might happen, we think about the power of that tool in the hands of folks who want to do something special and responsible and interesting. So yeah, we're using the latest technology to try to crack this nut. And we're not the first. We won't be the last. I have started a trend, though, of people who realize ancient material has all kinds of clues, and modern technology can reveal that.
Going back to the number of people who have responded to this challenge, what have you noticed about these responses? Are they all from the university world? Are there individual scholars? Who's responding to the Vesuvius Challenge?
Really difficult to tell because we haven't collected demographics. In fact, the platform doesn't really allow us to do that. And that's for the protection of the participants, you know, their privacy. But we can say in terms of their geographic distribution that we have worldwide participation. You know, that's a signifier of our postmodern world, is that we live in a global society. And I think that's tremendous because these materials really belong to the global community. And so having a global audience and a global set of participants is exactly what we want.
What happens next? Where is the challenge going from here?
We have a couple months left on the first phase of this challenge on Kaggle, which is the platform that we're using to run the challenge. We will award winners after the competition closes in a couple months. And then from there, we basically wait. Either competitors come in with a winning solution or time expires at the end of the calendar year. And we take the submissions that we have and see if anybody met the criteria. And if they have, we'll make an award.
So we need to wait until the end of the year to see what happens.
Well, unless someone meets the threshold sooner. So if someone makes a submission tomorrow and it meets our criteria, which is 140 letters that make coherent text traceable to being extracted from one of the scrolls, then we will award the prize and the competition will be over.
And you release it to the world. This will be big news.
It's going to be big news for me, Gordon. I do think there will be interest on the global stage. I hope that's true because I think this is really important. You know, I should mention that the prize is being offered by my partners who are working with me on the Vesuvius Challenge, who are from Silicon Valley, Dan Gross and Nat Friedman, who together with me are interested in seeing this problem get solved. And they helped me raise the funding to be able to offer such a prize. And I do think that that's helping us attract participants because there is that incentive too.
I think, this is something kind of new in a world of ancient studies. We'll see where it leads.
Well, it is new for me. I think that if you look at academia, we typically do our work and then publish papers. I've become a little bit impatient with only that model, and we'll see if the prize framework helps us. I think it does. I think it will, though. I mean, we already have participation, and it's participation that I could never have paid for on my own because 600 teams working on this problem is not something that I would have the resources to.
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating story, and we will probably come back to it to learn about what happens. Our thanks to Brent Seals, professor of computer science at the University of Kentucky, for filling us in on the Vesuvius Challenge. I'd like to remind you that we have information on biblical archaeology on our website at radioscribe.com. You can also find out about our biblical archaeology news magazine, Artifacts, to keep you up to date on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. That information at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.